Hello and welcome to the Local Economic Development Podcast.
Hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Jörg Meyer-Starmer.
For other programs in this series, please take a look at www.ledcast.net.
Good evening. Tonight we are talking about GTZRED, Regional Economic Development Program in Central Java, Indonesia. We are in a hotel in Solo City, which is the major city in the region of Solo Raya, in the southern part of Central Java. And with me are here Mr. Haider Al-Baghdadi, German citizen, who is the team leader in the GTZRED program, and also Pa Cheng, who is employed in this program as National Senior Advisor. We work together in this program. I'm sometimes contracted as a consultant here for different activities, and we thought that the activities of this program, the strategy and the scope of work, and also the attention the program receives by the meantime, is worthwhile to produce a podcast. So my first question goes to Haider Al-Baghdadi. Can you give us, please, a brief overview on GTZRED?
Yes, thank you. The background of the RED program is that Indonesia has been decentralized 1999, what means that the major responsibilities, economic and political responsibilities, has been shifted to subnational levels. Now we have the situation that the local governments, that they are challenged to define strategies and programs aiming at local or regional economic development. Against this backdrop, the German and Indonesian government concluded to implement a program, the RED program, aiming at developing a pilot model for regional economic development. In this regard, the pilot region has been chosen in Central Java. This region is called Subusuka-Wonus-Ratem, or nowadays we call it Solo Raya, and we will tell you later why we call it Solo Raya.
Could you give us also, please, a short overview about time issues? When did the program start? How long is it running already? And what is the time horizon for the end of the program or possible prolongation?
Yeah, the RED program has started 2003 and will run at least till 2010.
Right. So regarding counterparts, how is the program connected to the Indonesian government? And what are the counterparts on the national, provincial, and regional level? Maybe, Pa Cheng, you can give us some information about that.
Our partner is in the national level. We have a BAPENAS. The call is like a planning board for national level. And then in the provincial, we call also this is planning board for provincial level. But in the district region, we have more stakeholder. Beside the planning board, is we call BAPEDA. Also, there is some from private sector, and then also from one who set up by 76 is called a inter-district cooperation, and then this is with our partner. But mostly we try to working is not only with our partner, not only one, but we also working with several partner to continue or to set up our program region in pilot project is called Solo Raya.
All right. So we talk about a region, which is certainly a difference to a locality that are mostly focused in local economic development programs, or also in SME development programs, where the specific program focuses on a location which is usually considered smaller than a region. So what makes the difference in terms of geographical scope?
The Solo region consists of 6 districts and one region capital, which is called Solo. This is a quite huge area. In this region live more than 6.2 million people. The region is characterized that it has a high unemployment rate and poverty rate. More than 15% live below the poverty line. To compare Solo Raya with other regions in Indonesia, Solo Raya has already quite some potentials in terms of infrastructure and also of industries which are hosted in Solo Raya. Strong and long experienced sectors are, for example, furniture, textile, automotive, and also agribusiness.
Okay, so we learned about some potentials the region obviously has, but our listeners all over the world know also about the recent earthquake last year in 2006 that took place in Yogyakarta and in the surrounding area. Yogyakarta is located very close to this region, and most listeners might know Yogyakarta. So obviously the region is also prone to certain natural disasters. We should also not forget Yogyakarta also hosts Merapi, a major volcano that's very active, probably one of the most active volcanoes in Indonesia. And there's also a permanent threat, and some of the districts located actually at the foot of Merapi volcano. We learned about some of the potentials, also some of the comparative disadvantages, those natural threats in the region. But I understand there's also some quick response by the program on these activities. It's certainly not a focus. The focus of the activity is economic development in the region. I assume, having designed this program and having operated this program now since already 4 years, you might had an initial strategy and might have modified this strategy during the last few years. Please give us an overview, describe the strategy of GTZRED.
As I mentioned before, that the strategy is again to develop an approach for regional economic development. Doing this, we try to increase the competitiveness of the region. And we think that there are three major pillars for competitiveness or what determine competitiveness. One is you need a strong private sector, strong companies like SMEs. What you also need is a healthy and good business climate. So we are also working on improving the business climate, which really works for SMEs. Last but not least, we also encourage the local governments to work together in defining programs and strategies in developing the region as such. As I mentioned before, Indonesia has been decentralized, and this is a new issue to work together. And we have to show local governments that working together is more beneficial than to try to fight alone.
All right, so you just talked about the inter-government cooperation among government units on the same level, for example, among different districts, or maybe also vertically between different administrative levels like province, districts, municipalities. What about the public-private cooperation? Is this also a focus or some strategic element of your program?
Private-public partnership is very important. We also see in other regions in terms of on course of regionalization that new forms of public-private partnership occurs. And we also want to strengthen these cooperations in our region. We have already one good example, a regional development agency, which has been founded by the 7 districts, which has been mentioned before, and also by some private stakeholders, like business associations. And they together, they have formed a regional development agency, which tries to develop the region by providing certain services.
What kind of services are they?
Services are investment promotion. As I mentioned also before, this region has some qualities, and these qualities needs to be communicated. We support also the regional marketing of the region, and the regional marketing is one major function of this development agency. Another service is export promotion. There are high potential sectors like furniture, like textile and agribusiness, and these sectors need to have a better access to world markets. And the regional development agency is working on these issues.
All right, so we just learned about specific sectors you mentioned, and I understand that the program also has a sector focus. So you're not dealing with every sector that is somehow available in the region, but you focus on a selection of some sectors. Pa'acheng, what are the sectors you're selecting on? Maybe you give us a very short overview. What are you doing in those different sectors?
Our focus for sector, this is in the textile, garment, and the furniture, and then it's agro-processing. This sector is not coming from GTZ. It's coming also from the private sector, but this sector we get from our study with our partner, with our local stakeholder, and then with all the association in our project division to define which sector is really potential. We cannot go with all the sector, but we will start with 4 sector who are really promising in the future.
Is there any service sector involved as well in your focus portfolio?
Another important sector, tourism sector. The Regional Development Agency also developed a program for promoting tourism in the region. Thereby, the promotion agency, of course, is not only looking at international tourism, but predominantly at national tourism, local tourism. You know that Indonesia is a big country, it's 240 million inhabitants, and the Indonesians like to travel. And the Regional Development Agency try to increase the attractiveness of the tourism places in Suluraya.
Okay, so we learned that GTZRED has supported the establishment of a regional development agency, or I think it's called PT Suluraya Promosi, so a promotion agency with maybe also some development activities. We experienced in the last few months that there are problems occurring with this agency in operating this agency and also in the legal setup of this agency, something which your program is experiencing. probably as one of the few in the country, because this kind of agency has hardly been developed or established in any other part of Indonesia. But there was just recently a change in law, which has a major impact now on the setup of the development agency. Can you tell us what was the change? How does it impact and what is the consequence now?
Okay, I think it's not the change of the law, but there is coming new law. There's new law which number 13/2007. This is from the Ministry of Home Affairs. In that law is mentioned that the government is only possible giving contribution for the promotion agency, which we already set up together, is only once. But it makes difficult for the institution, and that it will be makes no more budget, because in the beginning, this institution of course need budget. This institution is not for the profit oriented, but this is benefit oriented. Of course, some people call it cost center, but it's true because promotion need a budget, and then we need the support from the 7 region to continue this activity.
Right. So we should also add that this development agency has been set up as a private company, in the legal form as of private company, which is unique in the Indonesian context, as I understand. And so it was some kind of experiments. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. This private legal form has some benefits. It allows more flexibility. But on the other hand, we have realized PT evokes the impression among the shareholders that with a promotion agency you can make money. But as my colleague Pa Aching already mentioned, regional development agency is not therefore making money, but giving the region a benefit by, at the end, creating more employment, more competitive SMEs, and so forth.
Okay. Obviously, the shareholders, mainly the districts, the district group parties, and one association are now looking for another solution, change somehow the setup of this company. Solution is still under discussion, but there's an agreement that it should be somehow continued.
Yes, it will continue. That was very encouraging. On the last shareholder meeting, all shareholders emphasized and they concluded that the spirit of inter-district cooperation should go on. And now they are looking for another legal status for this regional development agency.
Okay, so we already talked about stakeholders, the various stakeholders you are cooperating with, also your target groups, your counterparts. When you look at the region now, at the district level, maybe we should also include the province level, that means the province of Central Java, consisting of 35 districts, where Solo Raya only has 7 districts within this province. How would you describe the experience and the capabilities and the knowledge of the local stakeholders, and also the commitment of the regional and provincial stakeholders to cooperate with the program? Are you sufficiently happy? Do you think that you already achieved some improvement of experience, knowledge, and commitment of your counterparts, of the stakeholders you are cooperating with?
Let me answer your first question. The relevance of this approach is quite high. We have a high demand, and there's also big interest in our approach. The provincial government, for example, tries to disseminate the RET approach into other regions of Central Java, and they are having a very important facilitation role in this. And there's also our counterpart, Bappenas, who's also aiming to disseminate the RET approach tested in Central Java into other regions of Indonesia. What they are aiming at is to develop a similar approach, like the RET program, in a less developed region of Indonesia. So what they want to have is two kinds of RET approaches, one for a prosperous region and one for a less developed region.
Thank you for that. But again, my question, how would you assess the capabilities and experience of stakeholders to work with you? Let's not only look at the national level, let's also look at the regional level. Do you think there is room for improvement? Could you maybe implement your program more efficiently if there would be more experience and knowledge on the stakeholder side?
Yeah, there are improvements. I mean, one thing is, we mentioned several times before, is the regional development agency. That this has been set up is already an improvement. The background of this regional development agency is that the Indonesian study delegation visited Germany 2 years ago, and they visited North Rhine-Westphalia to learn about regional development approaches in Germany. And they have seen several regional development agencies, and then they said, okay, we also want to have something like that here in our region. This is the background of Petis Uluraya Promosi. We have some other promising experiences and progress. For example, the regional marketing, which is also an inter-district effort. At the very beginning of this interview, I said the name of the region is Superzucker Wunusraten, but now the name has changed to Uluraya, because also the stakeholders of the region said this name, Superzucker Wunusraten, is too complicated. With this name, you cannot attract any investors or any tourists. That's why they joined their forces together. They created a regional branding, which is like Solo, the spirit of Java. This branding is intensively communicated by different stakeholders, support from the media, and also by the private sector, who sponsors certain marketing campaigns for the region.
Let's look at the district level, and not only at the Bupati, that means the head of the district, but also at the different departments for certain themes like industry, like trade, like labor, tourism, whatever. People working there, also people working there in leading positions. Is it easy to work with them? If they would be more, let's say, experienced, could the program imagine certain advantages in cooperation?
Okay, in our project ledger for interdisciplinary cooperation, it is very new. In Central Java, with the 35 districts, there are already several interdisciplinary cooperation is already set up. But especially in our project region, of course, this is the first time, and then they have no experience before. So it's not so easy for us to convince that all player or that this interdisciplinary cooperation will be have the benefit for the region in the future. Of course, commitment, we cannot say really 100%, but they really support what the activity, because, yeah, this is the new approach. They like to see what the impact for that one. But they interested to join. We got really support from our stakeholder, and then if the problem arises with activity, I think this is a normal.
All right, so it's new for them. They didn't have the chance to collect a lot of experience with this kind of approaches in the past. How would you describe their expectations? What do you think are the expectations of the counterparts on the district level, and also of the leading staff, the leading positions in the different departments on the district level?
Okay, I think the expectations are partly sky high. This is a problem, but what my colleague Pa Aching mentioned already, they are not yet experienced with regional development approaches. Some of them don't have understand yet what is regional economic development about, and that you need to be patient. If you invest in promotion, if you set up a development agency, if you try to develop cluster to support SMEs, it takes time. And you need certain tools, certain instruments, and it also takes time that people understand about the instruments, about the tools, about the objectives. But I also think, like my colleague Aching, it takes time, and we are like teachers. We need to train and to teach our colleagues from the DINAs, from other departments, what is regional economic about.
We just looked from your point of view towards your regional counterparts. Now, so what do you think is the point of view in terms of looking at you? How do you think is the RED program and its credibility in terms of professionalism, in terms of performance, selection of approaches, selection of tools and instruments, regarded from the perspective of the regional district counterparts? Do you think the program enjoys credibility? Do you think they really believe in what you're doing, and they are very keen on when you come up with new ideas, new instruments, new tools? How would you describe the perception in terms of credibility of the program in the region?
I think I'm sure 100% that our partner, national level, provincial level, also in our project region, in the district level, they really understand and they really believe that what we introduce about our approach, because we work also together. You know, the CitySat is not working alone, but we are working together with our partner. Of course, we introduce several tools. If I can say why they believe, just for example, I can say we introduce one of the tool we call is PAKA method. And then in the beginning, this is new method to know about the local potential. Look like a simple. And then the result of the PAKA method, they documented by the district government, and then they really put in the economic strategy for the district strategy, and they allocated the budget for this activity. So I think it's really good approach that the partner believe. that this PACA method, one of our method, is really potential, or they can use it. If you see, when they start with in the beginning, only this is introduction, and then they adapt our method, they documented, put in the district strategy, and the budget allocation provide for that. This is one of good approach. Maybe our colleague Pak Haider maybe also can add, because we not only one tool, we have many tools in our toolbox.
So this is a good transition to the next topic, and I wanted to ask you that anyway, because I understand that the GTZ RED program is applying a lot of very different tools for different purposes within the program region, partly even beyond the program region. Can you give us an overview? What is in your toolbox? What kind of different tools, instruments that are also have partly been used in other countries already are in your toolbox? And what are those tools that you think are most promising after having applied them?
Before I answer this question, I also want to add on Bajek, that our approach is accepted and demanded. In Central Java, the regionalization process is really widespread now. I mean, we started in Solo Raya, but now there are 6 regions which are going to constitute. And they were motivated by Solo Raya region, and now they want to follow suit. And I think this is a big success. So regionalization is really going forward in Indonesia, because also our partners they recognize that the region is actually the optimal size for economic development. The province, for example, is quite big, 62 million inhabitants. And to develop program and strategies for economic development only on the provincial level is quite impossible, because the province is too big. On the other hand, the district is too small. So the regional dimension is the right dimension. And what is here interesting again is that this inter-district cooperation is based on voluntarily commitment. This is unique, this is accepted by our partners, and we have strong partners on the provincial level, on the national level, to disseminate this approach into other regions. Coming back to your question regarding tools, we have many tools and instruments which are already highly demanded from other regions and other key stakeholders. If it comes to SME promotion, we work with a value chain approach. Before we started to implement our approach, we did a baseline study. We identified the most potential subsectors in the region, which were just repeated, textile, furniture, agribusiness, and so on. And we have taken the value chain approach, which really looks into these subsectors, really tries to identify where are the weaknesses, and to try to overcome these weaknesses by providing certain instruments like BBS or like private-public partnerships and so forth. So the value chain approach is quite successful, it's accepted by our partners. What we also promote is entrepreneurship. What the region needs are new entrepreneurs, new kind of entrepreneurs, young motivated entrepreneurs. So we also applied the SEFE instrument, which has been developed by GTZ 20 years ago, but what is still evergreen, you know? And it's highly, also highly demanded by our partners. Also on the national level, the banks are very much interested in SEFE, they're applying now SEFE for their credit lines, and so forth and so forth. For improving the business climate, we also have introduced certain instruments like business climate surveys. So the first one started 2003, the second one 2005, and both climate surveys have been financed by our program. What is very encouraging and what we are also very proud of now is that the Business Climate Survey 2007 is financed by the Bank of Indonesia and also by a regional newspaper, Suara Merdeka. They have a high interest in the Business Climate Survey, and they are conducting now for 2007, still with support of GTZ, the Business Climate Survey for whole Central Java, not only for the Solo region. This is a good result. Another thing is that Indonesia, as you might know, in the international business climate ranking is ranked 130. So it's very low ranked. And what we have introduced are regulatory impact assessments called RIA. So all 7 districts, they have institutionalized RIA working groups, which task is to assess all local regulation which have a negative impact on the local economy.
Also, this is one our focus is we call regional marketing. In this component, we start how to make this area is more competitive. But one part of the activity of the regional marketing, we try to make the slogan and logo for this area. It's like my colleague before, Pak Haider, mentioned, the name is Subo Suka Wonostraten. For Indonesian people, also it's difficult. It's not marketable for the people from the outside, for outside of Indonesia. That's why we try with our partner to set up with a competition. This is really the bottom-up approach to set up the new logo and the new slogan in our project region. And then after long process, we come up with one logo. This we call is Solo, the Spirit of Java. In the district where we are working, 7 district, if we compare with the area of Central Java, with the 35 district, this is the first time in our project region to make the really bottom-up competition. All the local people can join in with the independent jury.
Okay, but I also like to ask our interviewer, who is very closely working with the RED program, he has also long experience with the RED program. What are, from your point of view, the highlights of the RED program, if you talk about tools and instruments?
Well, I've been involved in the RED program actually almost since the beginning, since the second half of 2003, and my involvement started with doing a PACA training, Participatory Appraisal of Competitive Advantage, this tool to quickly analyze a local economy. And we did that in Solo City, and we had participants from this region, but also from another region in the east of Indonesia, another GTZ program. And then immediately we went for a PACA exercise in one of the 7 districts in Boyolali district. I think this was also one of the more successful PACA exercises in Indonesia. So of course, I need to mention that, because I'm also a MISO partner, and PACA is our important approach.
I guess now that our partner from MESO partner is now a little bit modest, there's another instrument which is called FEDEP. These are discussion fora for the private and public sector. And we have in all districts of Central Java, not only Solo Raya, but in all 35 districts of Central Java, we have this FEDEPs. And actually the FEDEPs, they evolve from PACA exercises, because stakeholders, they really appreciated a lot the philosophy of PACA, to bring local and public stakeholders together to define projects and strategies for the locality. This has been taken up, and now we have the FEDEPs in all 35 districts, and these FEDEPs are funded by the provincial as well as by the local government, and I think this is a good result.
Let's look at some other tools. What is happening right in the moment?
In Solo Raya, the stakeholders of the region, they now develop a strategy for their region. This strategy is quite important, because later on it should be linked to the regional development agency. Another thing is that, as I mentioned before, that other regions that now try to adapt the approach from Solo Raya, and we have one region which is called Gedung Sepur, but there we have a similar constellation. We have one big city, Semarang, and we have 6 districts. And they also want to enter into a regional economic development process, and they have started with developing a strategy. And as an instrument, they use the compass. Compass is an instrument which has also been developed by MESO partner. And we had a workshop last week, and we really managed within one day to develop the first kind of strategy for Gedung Sepur.
So just to add that, it is called the Compass of Competitiveness. It's a methodology which is based on the balanced scorecard approach. So another methodology that has been transferred from the business sector to the territorial context, like many tools of Michael Porter, for example. And I also need to add that this tool has not been developed only by MESO partner, but it has been developed in cooperation with GTZ and also with Invent in South Africa and also in Latin America.
Oh, can we get modest?
Right, but also in Solo Raya, we currently develop a strategy. We develop a strategy for the whole region, a multi-sector strategy based on economic potentials, but we also develop, or the program is developing, a strategy for tourism. Let us look at this strategy, and let us look at the different approaches that are used in order to, or sequenced in order to develop this strategy.
Since you, Christian Schön, you have been involved in the process, you have steered us through the process, I would like to give back the question to you.
Right. So the assignment was to develop a strategy for this region. That means a strategy that is agreed upon by all 7 districts, and it must also be based on the economic potentials of all 7 districts. Of course, the districts have different economic potential. There are some products which are produced in almost all districts, some even in all districts, like for example agricultural products and agricultural processed products. But others, like for example textile and garment, are only in the more developed and more urban districts and less in the few rural districts manufactured. So we have different situations. Also tourism is more relevant for some districts and less relevant for other districts regarding the natural attractions and natural conditions and also other man-made attractions in the regions. So we have different situations. That means we first needed to identify the economic potential for the districts, how it is regarded by the districts themselves, what are the strategic elements within the districts formulated by districts government in the past. So we collected that. We produced district strategy papers. There were some scattered strategic ideas around and some documents, but never a real compiled district strategy. So this was the first step. The second step was the economic potential study prepared. This was probably the most comprehensive effort in this strategy development. And we came up finally using this methodology which has been developed in Vietnam last year to come up with 4 sectors: pattern furniture, wooden furniture, textile and garment, and also handicrafts made from different materials that show economic potential based on current export trends and future forecasts. But this was not the end. We also needed to look into the future, and we wanted to have local stakeholders working in these districts, partly, mostly actually, unfortunately, mostly from government, but also some from associations, it means private sector, to develop a joint vision. So we initiated a scenario foresight and scenario exercise, which was a one-day workshop, used the first time, as I understand, in the regional context in Indonesia. There have been some technology foresight attempts, but not territorial foresight attempts in the country so far. Right. This just happened by the end of last week. We are still processing the results, and all these different results collected during the last few months will then be put into a regional strategy paper that, of course, need to be agreed by all the districts, by the program, and so on. We will see what is the outcome, and we expect a longer and many loop mechanism of feedback in order to get a finally agreed strategy paper.
Okay, thank you, Christian. This is very nice. I got some feedback from you. Now, before I come from you asking about what our activity, our program, region, our approach. Now, I have some question. I know you are a lot of experience. You are really go around the world. Mostly, some people said, first make a strategy and then implementation. But now, we said, we go start with the program. We see what the situation, and then after that we make the strategy. I want to know from your side what your comment about this.
Okay, I mean, of course, the program needs a strategy in order to know what to do and what it wants to do, and also incorporating the expectations of the different stakeholders involved, including the regional stakeholders, but also including, of course, the organization that is giving the money, means EMZ in Germany, and the national counterpart. But in terms of territorial strategy, how should the region develop? Where should the region go to? Actually, I wouldn't start with that. If you look at the PACA philosophy, you will also see that we don't recommend to start with that. It's better to start with activities, with making people work together, with making public and private sectors starting understand each other. It's also starting understand the potentials of a region and what can be achieved, and only then coming up with a longer-term vision, a longer-term view, and formulating maybe first some kind of strategic intent and then going for a more comprehensive strategy. I mean, now it is already 4 years the program is running, and now you started formulating a strategy. It could have been a little bit earlier, but actually not to start at the beginning, right at the beginning, I think, is the right approach.
It is right that we didn't start with a grand strategy, but Christian Schön, you also said maybe it's not the right thing to do to start from the very beginning with a grand strategy. But what we did, of course, we did baseline studies and the subsector studies. And based on these analyses, we developed subsector strategies and also strategic elements for certain sectors. Of course, with this we have started. And later on, we put our efforts into developing a grand strategy.
Well, Pa Acheng and Haider, we already had a long discussion. I think we and also the listeners learned a lot about the program and also about the region we are talking about, the Central Java and Indonesia in general. My last question, or possibly it's two questions. First of all, what are the conclusions from the first 3.5 years program running in this region? And second, where is the program heading to? What are the expectations and aims for the upcoming time?
Yeah, one of the conclusions is that it is really a long-term process. It requires time. Because the nature of regional economic development, if it's really a bottom-up approach, is to build up new corporations, new forms of corporations. Therefore, you also need to build up trust between the players in the public sector and in the private sector. You need to promote networks and so forth. You need to implement new tools and instruments adapted and understood by the partners, that in the long run they can also work with instruments without the support of the project. We know other programs also dealing with local economic development, they have a time horizon from maximum 2 years. And I think to achieve the goals we want to achieve, to do that in 2 years, we think it's quite impossible. That's why I think it really takes time to establish this approach and to get it later on disseminated. We are heading for dissemination because Solo Raya is a big region, but it's only one region. We will have success if other regions are able to adapt our approach. Because to make only one region strong in such big country, it's good for the region, but we think it's not enough. We really think that this approach needs to be disseminated and adapted by other regions, and then we can say we have been successful.
Thank you, gentlemen, for this discussion.